I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everybody and welcome along to episode 80 of Ready Player 2. This is an actual proper actual episode where in which we all have microphones and our own PCs and don't sound like dog shit because we're not in a car. We have a full cowardice of podcasters today. So my name is Rich and we also have Ross.
Hello.
We also have Lewis.
Hello.
We have Anti-L.
Oh, for fuck's sake. That's me again. Oh god, that fools me every time. Oh, I'm still asleep. I'm sorry.
And Anti-L.
My name's that's, Lee.
No, that's L. No, Lee. It's L. We have actual L.
Yay!
L. Oh, there we go. Oh my good grief, this is going to go really well. I can already tell. So there's five of us, which means this is going to be an absolute goddamn nightmare to try and keep track of, but I'm going to try and do it anyway. Also, I'm not editing this episode, which I'm really quite happy about. Who's editing this? Put your hand up.
Rich,
how can
you
we
say
tell?
That like
no one can see.
I know.
Rich,
I never.
You say that like you edit every episode.
No, no. I may have edited one episode at some point. I'm not sure when.
Name the last time you edited an episode.
I can't remember.
You did.
I can't remember,
the
last time we recorded.
One.
Yeah, I did one.
It took you about a week.
Shh. I think a couple of the lost episodes may have been me not editing them to the point where everybody forgot we did it. Right. Look. There's so many of us this week, and we've got loads to talk about. So what we're going to do is, I know EGX was a little while ago, and we've done a couple of mini-casts. We did a live video podcast, which we did on Facebook. We also did a couple of carpool podcasts, speaking about EGX. Now, I don't really want to speak about EGX too much on this episode. What? EGX is a show, yeah? So... Mm-hmm. EGX was a thing. It was a show in the UK, in Birmingham, at the NEC, that an awful lot of people went to. This year, very briefly, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was really good. I thought the queue management in it was much better than it was last year.
Yeah, it's because we didn't queue.
No, well, shush. Well, no, it's supposed to be the Everyman podcast, Lewis. the vibe was excellent.
I'm not queuing. No. I'm not queuing with the scum.
Lewis is elitist. No,
you skipped the queue with the scum. That was what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the... The vibe was great.
What?
Everything, I really enjoyed it. There were some brilliant shows, and there were some brilliant people working on the stands. And then also, there was a weird conspicuous absence of certain games or certain entire manufacturers that just didn't appear to be there at all, which was really bizarre. But on a whole, I really liked it. Has anybody got a standout thing, very briefly, about the show that they just want to say, and then we'll get on talking about the games that we want to talk about? No,
it's been some pretty much.
Oh, mate, it takes a little while for the brain to engage. You know, there were so many nice things.
We've all been flu-addled since then.
Yeah, I want to say that it was really kid-friendly this year.
It was.
I think more so than 2013, and I think it was predominantly because of the Nintendo stand. They were amazing at people handling. And,
yes, they were.
You know, people
not,
are
not
the
literal
worst.
Handling of people.
No, not literal manhandling of people.
Not physically, no. But people can be the worst at the best of times. And, you know, it gets progressively worse when you're impatient, you're bored, and you're made to wait. But they were really good. Plus, their games were really child friendly, especially the cardboard things.
the Labo, the Nintendo Labo. And I thought that was really well handled as well, because the amount of people that wanted to get onto those Nintendo Labo things, and the Nintendo staff seemed to just be effortlessly dealing with everybody. Just ushering people nicely on, nicely off, having a quick chat, explaining what the games were, and suddenly the queue disappeared and you got on and everything was fine.
They were so calm, like swans.
Yeah. Like swans.
Big red swans.
Yeah.
Swans last are scary.
The best staff there out of all the big ones. But I came away thinking, oh, Sony. I mean, Microsoft weren't there, so we can't really judge them. But I thought, Sony, oh, you bastards, making me queue for the PSVR thing. But then I remembered me, Ross and Elle queued up for Spider-Man as well.
We did.
And they made that quite pleasant.
Yeah,
it was a good guy.
The PlayStation guy in that queue was really friendly and chatty. And
yeah. I don't know if we just got one that was nice.
Probably, yeah.
He was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, we might gripe about the way that PlayStation handled the Sony VR queues this year, but it's still not a touch on the Sea of Thieves queue from last year. Not even
still
close. My soul still exists in that queue.
They should have brought round like the silver blankets and things to survive.
Yeah, survival equipment.
Energy drinks to people. I want to follow on from what Elle said, the kid friendliness. We took your kids on the Sunday there. And
yeah.
Just seeing how much fun they had playing games. Mm. Like I'm a grumpy old gamer now. I don't care about happiness and things like that. But that's the next generation.
You play Football Manager.
Exactly. It's miserable. It's a miserable existence. But they seem to have such a great time, and everyone's like really friendly towards them.
Yeah, yeah. They genuinely, and everybody handled them really, really well, I thought. But and Nintendo, you expect a company like Nintendo to handle loads of kids gaggling around and trying to play their games really, really well, and they did, it really well. But my kids naturally gravitated towards the indie games.
Yeah, the transfuser section.
They loved it. They were mad for it. And I thought a lot of the guys around there... Now, there were some that obviously not... A lot of them aren't PR people. They're not geared necessarily to deal with people. They're developers. So they're not necessarily always the best people persons. Anyway... so many people were really good with the kids. I thought it was really nice to see that they were having a fantastic time and talking to people. I'm pretty sure Emily felt like she was interviewing people half the time.
She was having a great time. Yeah.
Especially on the drawing game. That was really good.
I think she sucked all of Lee's energy on the front of the Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You looked like a ghost of a man.
Mine had actually played quite a
bit. Oh, good grief. I was getting paler and paler as the weekend progressed. Have you got any standout from the show, Lewis, or did you just kind of like the whole thing?
No, I think I pretty much covered most of it in like our live episode. Like,
yeah,
the whole thing was a really good experience, and I mean, I'm still suffering for it now, but it was a good experience.
Yeah,
just kind of echoing what the other guys have said. Like, it was really friendly. It was really kid friendly. It didn't feel too much like all the stands were being run by PR people.
Yeah.
It was just nice to be able to chat with the devs and see how they interacted with your kids and the other kids that were were at the show. So yeah, it was a really a nice wholesome experience.
It was, wasn't it? That's a good word.
Even on the Saturday when it was the craziest, the most busiest, it didn't seem. It didn't even seem like it was that.
I think
really
some
mental.
Of that. I think some of it was because we went 4 days this year. We kind of went 4 days. Some of us went three. We took it a lot calmer than we have done previously. So in previous years, we've gone mad. Go, 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 go. In one day, you've got to get to every single thing that you can possibly get to.
Yeah.
Plus, in previous years, there has been more AAA games, bigger queues, and more of them. So you constantly feel like you're queuing and going around and all the rest of it. Press was handled really well this year, really nicely. A lot of the big names were quite happy to let you in to see their game, as long as you scheduled it with them. So we didn't have to queue too much, and we got around an awful lot of stuff. And then when we wanted to, we could take it calmer and just go at a normal pace and just move around a little bit. It was really organic, very, very nice. Right, look, that's EGX. If you haven't ever been to EGX before, you might not care. But if you are interested at all in discovering new games, because that's one thing that EGX is absolutely amazing for. There are so many games that I saw this year that I just never would have heard of. And in fact, one of the games that we really, really liked, that we'll talk about in a little while, had actually been out for 2 years before we saw it. And we did not know that it existed. And the only reason that they were there was because they were bringing out their game on the Switch. And we played this, absolutely loved it, couldn't believe we'd never seen it before, 2 years. That's why it's so great. Discovery, new things that you probably wouldn't have laid eyes on before.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. If you're interested in that kind of stuff, think about going next year. So,
you going to name that game?
No, I'm not. I'm going to talk about it later. Right, look, that's the show itself. Let's move on to a couple of the games that we've seen. So there's a bunch of things. If at any point you guys want to talk about something in particular that we haven't mentioned or we didn't give an award to, then blurt it out and we'll see if we can talk about it. But during the show, we took with us a series of awards. So basically we had like Best Indie Game of the Show. We had our crew award. So everybody had a crew pick and we got to give an award out to... The game that we thought was our pick of the show. I can't remember all the other awards that we had. What did we have? We had the Transfuser one, the Indie Game of the Show.
The Mini Player 2.
The Mini Player 2, yep, the kids gave one out. And which is so funny because this is absolutely not a kid-friendly show. Like, whatsoever. Not even close. It's not safe for work, not safe for kids, not safe for anybody. But yeah, they gave some awards out. We had the Left Field of the Show, and there was a couple more. I can't remember what they all are about. We'll go through them all. But we couldn't give awards to everybody because that would feel really stupid.
Yeah, kind of pointless.
Yeah, a little bit pointless. Just give everybody an award. So we picked our particular ones, but there were so many things there, and there were so many things that were absolutely worth talking about. Right. Lewis, do you mind if we start with yours?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lewis's crew pick of the show.
So my pick of the show was Honey, I Joined a Cult.
Which just makes me smile every time I hear the name.
Which is, so at its heart, it is a 70s cult simulator. The demo I played was really good fun. The guys that I spoke to, Simon and I forget the other guy's name, I'm really sorry, they are so passionate about it, and you can definitely tell that they both love Prison Architect and RimWorld and games of that ilk.
Yeah.
And this is pretty much their
homage.
Their ode or homage to those styles of games. Basically, you start as a cult leader, and you have to expand your cult and recruit people into your cult. And do missions,
get money,
that kind
make
of stuff.
It bigger, and you build the structures and all. Yep. Very prison architecture,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There are kind of missions that you can do in it. So, like, you have to go and recruit a celebrity or talk to a reporter or recruit a reporter so you get good press about your cult and those kinds of things. So, yeah.
That's why every cult needs good PR.
Good PR.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what I played is still very much in alpha. But yeah, it's just, it's very tongue-in-cheek. It's a really good game. It has the opportunity to be a really great game, to be up there with the likes of Prison Architect and RimWorld. The guys behind it are just superb. They were so passionate, so happy to chat to pretty much anyone about their game, obviously. But yeah,
they seemed quite shocked to me. So it's like they'd gone and they'd set everything up, and they almost had this air of they didn't really ever expect anybody to actually like what they'd done. And then when you went up and spoke to them about it and sat down and enjoyed it, they were kind of like, oh, like this.
They were very humble.
Yeah, yeah.
And modest about their game.
Well, and when we were speaking to them as well, we were saying, you know, is this what you do? Is this your entire job? Are you now game designers? And one of the guys went, no, I'm a lawyer.
No. Oh, really?
Like, yeah, he said, I'm a lawyer. And so if this girl goes wrong, I'm going to have to fall back on that. And that was one of the reasons, because we were talking to him about how serious is this going to get, you know, because what's the end game? What do you do at the end of the game? What's the win criteria? And is there like a mass suicide? And he said, do you know what? The amount of people that have asked us about mass suicide is ridiculous, because it seems like the natural conclusion to a cult. Everybody kills themselves, and then the person who started it runs away with all their money or something like that. Yeah. And then you could suddenly see him put his legal hat on, and he'd go, but I'm not entirely sure that's the direction we need to go in. they were trying to work out the way that they could handle it.
See, I had a very similar conversation with them, separately to you guys, because I think you played it on the Thursday, and I went back and played it on the Friday or Saturday. And I had a similar conversation with them. And again, I said, like, so what's the end game? Like, with most major actual cults, is it going to be mass suicide? And they're like, do you know what? So many people have asked us that, and we genuinely didn't think that that was going to be a popular question. Like, it's not even something that we'd considered.
Yeah, I know. I think they've gone into it really tongue-in-cheek and hadn't really considered the reality of what happens a lot of the time in these things. I reckon that they'll come up with an inventive way of dealing with it, because it's something that people will expect. But they were a really nice bunch of people. Right, look, we've got a bunch of games that we need to talk about. Is there anything we want to say finally about Honey, I Joined a Cult before we move on?
No, I'm very much looking forward to it coming out, at least in alpha. Pretty much it.
Yeah, I'd like to get my hands on future builds, because considering what was there was so early, like and they said, look, this is extremely early, to the point where this build is only here because it actually worked. It's like we've got other builds of this game that are just fully broken, so we couldn't bring them. So I'm looking forward to it, to what it turns into. Right, we're going to need to move on to another game, because we've got tons and tons and tons to move through to. So what have we got? L. What was your crew pick of the show?
So, I don't like side-scrollers, so it was my natural choice to choose a side-scroller as my choice of EGX. So, I'm quite hard to please when it comes to side-scrollers, because there are so many popular in the market, and it does my nut in sometimes. Look,
especially pixelated indie side scrollers. They're
and
everywhere.
And you're just like, for fuck's sake, you know, you literally cannot go into Steam without being literally swamped with side scrollers. But actually, I really like this one. I am drawn to anything that's quite quirky. So if someone does something different, aesthetically or maybe with the controls or something. Just something new, something different. And Valfaris is this heavy metal monstrosity of a side-scroller. I love the art style. It's, you know, quite Geiger-esque. The music is obviously heavy metal. I was in. I was sold. You've got giant robot dogs jumping on me from
the
start.
You were giggling away while you were playing. It's merely watching you.
Oh, right, I was.
I never played this. I didn't play this. It calls itself a heavy metal space saga, which just straight away got me.
Yeah, what was it? What was it? Play this one.
What was different about it to every other side-scroller that's out?
Just the way it's presented. I think it's nice to have something that is so very loud in its choice of presentation. We are heavy metal all the way through. There is nothing like subtle about this. We've just gone for the kind of, you know, 80s heavy metal kind of theme, which I loved. My only gripe was that they gave me Xbox controller, and I was like, can I play on the keyboard?
me and Lee were speaking to Matt Cundy, the guy from who was there with the game, and he was saying that I don't know if it's got keyboard controls. No one's even tried to play it on the keyboard yet.
You're the first. You're
a little bit confused.
Yeah.
And then there was me.
Did that work, or did you stick with the pad?
So all of the instructions were for if...
All the asking prompts, weren't they, Rod?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, do you know what? This is such a pain in the ass to try and do it on the keyboard. You could do it on the keyboard, but I just didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Every single screenshot for this game looks like it could be spray painted onto the side of a van.
Yes.
Which is just about as heavy metal as you can get, I think.
It's fantastic. I loved it.
We're on their Steam page as well, proudly showing off their crew pick of the game of the show.
Oh, are we?
Yeah. I did not know that.
Oh, that's cool.
In their news section.
In their news section. That's brilliant. I did not know that. I didn't play this, and I kind of want to play
Neither
it
Neither did I.
But I look at side-scrollers, and I did play a couple of side-scrollers, and I find it so difficult, because you sit there and the devs there, and you play it, and it's like, it's a nice side-scroller. But unless it's got something, unless it's got this little magic spark of something, you're just going to... I played one, and I genuinely couldn't tell you anything about it. It was a pixelated side-scroller, and
it did something about stopping time, right?
I think. Yeah, they're everywhere. They're just everywhere. Unless it's got really something special, then you just forget them, and that's exactly what I did with that one. I want to give this a go as soon as we can get our hands on a build of it and see what I think, but I do like the idea of all of the heavy metal and all the rest of it. Anything else you want to say about Valfaris before we move on?
Good job. Good job, team.
Well done. Heavy metal. Right, look. Who are we going to go to now? We need to speak about another game. I'm going to speak about mine. Because you know what? I'm driving this car, so fuck y'all.
fuck your all.
No, don't do that. Ever. Oh, ever. Man. Never say that again or anything close to it. Right, so the game that I chose for my crew pick was a game called Catastronauts, which I was really proud of myself, because when I wrote it on the little award that we gave out, I spelt it correctly with no prompting. And actually, they looked at it when I gave it to them and went, "You spelt it right. Well done." This is Catastronauts. And I'm not going to try and spell it out now, but just Google it and I'm sure it'll fix it for you if need be. Basically, this is Overcooked meets FTL. It's Overcooked in Space. If you've never played either of those games, then fucking shame on you. But essentially, it's a multiplayer couch gaming experience in which you have two or more people, and I don't see how you could do it with two people. You'd need three or four people to do this. Are on a spaceship that is comprised of, depending on the level that you're in, several different sections, and one of them might be an engine section. One of them might have a gun in it. One of them is something else, depending on the level. And the idea is you're being shot at by another spaceship, and it's hitting you, so fires are starting and things are getting damaged, and you've got guns and you've got to fire them back, and then depending on the level, there's all these other little mechanics that are going on at the same time, and all of you have somehow got to try and coordinate yourselves to deal with this entire situation, right? That's not entirely what happened, if I'm being honest. It mostly was uncoordinated and messy, but it was absolutely freaking hilarious while we were playing it. And it's good. They've done a really nice job of making it so that everybody has to interact in some way or another. So one of the guns, for example, has got two buttons on it, and one's at the top and one's at the bottom, but you can't get to both buttons without running around the entire ship. So two people, one's got to start at the top and one person's got to start at the bottom, and you've got to alternate pushing this button. The main reason for this is because there's a fucking fence in the way. Mm-hmm. And we spoke about this at the time, and we actually said to them, why is there a fence on a spaceship? That's just a silly design choice. And it was something that had been put there to make it so that the level wasn't too easy. But that was only one of the levels. There was a bunch of other stuff.
If there's only two of you, would you get AI or would you just go with two?
Do you know, I'm not sure. No. I think it only goes with two. Need multiple people.
I'm looking at the Steam page, and there are a few negative reviews, and the main problem, and this actually touches on my experience with the game on the day, is that with two players, it's practically impossible to get past some of the level.
Yeah.
So when I played with, I think, it was
Drew.
Both the kids. Oh, no, yeah. It was Drew and... Emily played?
Yeah, Drew, yeah. Emily, and one other person. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Ross. Yeah.
It was a bit of a struggle. It wasn't actually much fun because we just weren't getting any.
Yeah.
And I think that they need to look at maybe AI or balancing the levels a little to cater for less players, because it could be a bit of a problem for them.
Yeah, and everybody had to be on the ball. Like, you couldn't have... And in a lot of these games, if you've got one person that's just kind of dicking about, you can usually get away with it. But in this, it was quite fine. It was very close to the wire. And if you had one person cocking around, you couldn't really get away with it. But there were some brilliant... They've designed the levels in this way that create giggles. And the one that I'm going to go for here is there was a level in which every now and again there's a solar flare and the solar flare happens, right, and You have to get to this safe room, which is basically a wardrobe with a button in it. It's at the centre of the ship, so depending on where on the ship you are, you've got to run around. This is like a top-down, if I didn't
explain. It's the last image on the Steam page.
Right, okay. So this, you get an alert to tell you that this solar flare is about to happen, and you've got like 5 seconds to every single one of you leg it into this safe cupboard, and then one person in there has got to push a button that shuts the door. Okay? Now, predictably, that isn't exactly what happened. And I think the first time this happened, we all shit ourselves and ran in. Lewis wasn't 100% sure what exactly was going on and didn't make it in time. But as he was running towards the door, in a very last second platoon fall to his knees styling, somebody, and I still don't actually know who it was, just
it
went...
It was you.
I don't think it was me.
It was you. I could see you by the button.
Just kind of went... Like, literally saw his nose coming at the door and went, flick. And the door shut. And then the solar flare goes off and he gets burnt to a crisp. So that's one instance. Then another instance was, at one point, we all ran in to the safe room. But Elle, who had panicked on her way there, had managed to catch fire. Because she'd run through a fire. And ran into the safe room, which is a wardrobe. And then shut the door. So we were in like a sealed compartment full of fire.
I got my revenge,
from the outside.
Though.
Yeah, and then the last one was the final solar flare went off, and literally all of us went to run towards it to find that Lewis had basically been camped.
I was in there
for
with
I don't
Lewis.
Know how long. And then just waited until we were all coming up on it and flicked the switch and we all burnt to a crisp. It was good fun. It was really enjoyable. Our experience of it, I think probably because we didn't have one of the kids playing or people that were maybe less experienced playing, was really good. I really enjoyed it. But the variance of the levels is going to be what makes it entertaining. It's the same thing with Overcooked. And it could get quite boring quite quickly if you're not careful. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. If they get the balance right, if they get the difficulty level right, if they get the amount of levels and the variance right, I think it could be a really entertaining game.
Well, that's the first one... that we've spoken about that's actually just been released.
Literally just... Oh, yeah, I remember at the time they were saying that it was coming out
the
following Friday. Yeah, yeah.
28th of September it came out.
So that was my crew choice. I really enjoyed it. Right, we need to move on to somebody else. Ross.
Hello.
Would you like to speak about your crew pick?
Yeah, I picked Bleed 2, which is a Digirati game as well, or they handled the PR for it.
Yep.
It was really fun. I played Bleed 1 to death. It's a side-scrolling shoot-em-up in the vein of like Contra or Metal Slug, that type. Like constantly things going on the screen. They've added more to this than in the previous game. They've added the ability to slow down time when you're facing the big bosses so you can fire their weapons back at them to help you defeat them. It's really, really fun. I think I've made L play as well, or maybe Lee. One
yeah,
of
mate, yeah. I loved it. It's fantastic. I would have chosen this.
It's another one I didn't play. This looks nuts. This looks another absolutely nuts, this video.
This game is acceptable.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's so easy. It's like two-button control, basically. Your firing is on your right trigger, or your right analog stick, and your slowdown time is on your left, and you move with your left analog stick. It's so easy to play. It's just so much fun as well.
Good grief. I'm definitely going to have to play this.
Fantastic gameplay mechanics in it with a different colour ammo coming out of the... bosses and things like that. It was just it worked so well. It's so easy to pick up.
Yes.
It's also challenging.
And looks really visually impressive when you get it right, I bet.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you slow down time, you're hitting back the pink things but dodging the yellow things and you're making them fire back at the boss. It's so good. I love shoot-em-ups and there's been a dearth of them on modern consoles and this is kind of to use that word, homage to games of the past.
See, this again, right, this is the reason I love EGX, this kind of thing. I would never... I am very biased towards these kind of games. If I see a pixelated side-scrolling shoot-em-up on Steam or basically anywhere, my instant reaction is no. I'm not going to bother. That being said, I really like Super Meat Boy.
Yes.
But I wouldn't have played that if somebody hadn't recommended it to me or if I hadn't seen it being played somewhere. This kind of thing looks absolutely brilliant. But if I hadn't have been shown it, would have ever played it.
Local co-op as well on this one.
Yes, there is. It's been out for a year. I mean, to bring it to the show, just to show what they've got, is great. It's a game that's been out for a year and still is that playable, and it's going to open it up to a whole new audience of people as well.
This is like a beer and a half price as well. $6.99.
Yeah, $6.99.
Yeah, that's a
bugger all, really. Yeah. Mm. Right then. Anything else that you want to say about Bleed 2 before we ship on?
No, I've got another game I want to talk about, but no, Bleed 2, just go and buy it. It's cheap. You can get 1 and 2 for like 10 quid. So,
bargain. There you go. Right. The last crew choice, if we're not counting the mini ones, the last crew choice of the show was Lee's. Who did you pick?
I picked Hyper Brawl Tournament by Milky Tea Limited.
Which is just such a brilliant name for a company.
Yeah. and also a brilliant game. And their premise is this is Speedball 2, which is a game that we should always cherish and love forever. And Rocket League, that sort of tournament versus tournament type game.
Yeah.
I said tournament twice because it's a lot of tournament.
It's very tournamenty.
It's heavy on the tournament gameplay.
This was my favourite moment of the show, and that was, went a long way towards me choosing this game. It's a great game. I probably, if Ross hadn't chosen Bleed 2, I probably, if I'm honest, would have chosen that myself.
Oh, nice.
But this, just for the moment where four of us sat down to play this together, and Lewis and Ross teamed up against myself and Elle. And
I thought I was backing the winning horse.
You did, didn't you? I could see you just like, I'll be with Ross.
We were doing fine to begin with, and then Elle just kind of turned it on.
Well, the problem at the beginning was that I thought that, you know, Elle, being somebody that professes not to play sports ball games, was going to struggle. And
I don't play sports ball games.
In my naivety, I thought that it would fall on me to actually to do the work, the heavy lifting here. No. After we lost the first match, I said, right, I'm going in goal. Have at it. And
I discovered that there was a list of instructions on a laminated card in front of me.
Right in front of you.
And then, yeah, and then she just went to town on them.
This was brilliant, right? So when you guys started playing, I wasn't there. I think me and Drew were off doing something else. And we turned up on like the third or fourth round that you guys were having. And one of the developers looked at my shirt, my Ready Player 2 shirt, and went, do you know her? And I was like, I thought he was going to ask her for a coffee or something. And he was just like, she's destroying them. I was like, oh my God, what? Yeah, it's one of those moments, isn't it? One of those moments of the show that was just really entertaining. The guys that were putting the game together, these Milky Tea guys, they were really nice to talk to. They were a great bunch of people. Now, we haven't really fully explained what this game is, although you did say it's Speedball. But for those of you that aren't 40, this is kind of almost top-down, slightly side-on, four-player.
So you could say it was diagonal-on.
Diagonal-on. I'll give you
diagonal-on. Isometric, if you like.
That's fine. Fine, whatever. It's top-ish down, right?
Top-ish down.
Top-ish down. Sports ball game in which there is a ball, there are two people on each team, you have to throw the ball into the other team's goal, but you can also punch and kick, and you've got a special weapon that you get to pick at the beginning of the game, which consists of either like a massive hammer, or a jetpack, or a magnet gun, and various other things.
The stage changes as well, the floor goes and the things pop up and get in the way, and it's chaos.
Think of it almost like Violent Basketball meets Rocket League, and you're almost there.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. And it was very entertaining. And it was quite polished as well. Also, the guys had made it. We had all these people around with what essentially was pretty much 24-inch monitors. So basically, everybody at the technical stand, as we called it, had like 24-inch monitors for their games. And people were sitting down, even if it was a two-player. And there was two stools in front of this 24-inch monitor, and everybody was playing it. And these guys had like an 85-inch screen that they plopped down on the desk.
Bit of kit that was.
and it just drew you to it. It drew you to the thing, and it was brilliant to play.
That's the thing with this, because on a lot of ball games these days, like FIFA and whatever, the camera moves up and down the pitch, but this one encapsulates the whole pitch all at once. And I think if they'd have shown that on a small screen, it wouldn't have had quite the same effect, but with it being on that huge screen, you could see the whole pitch.
Yeah, see everything was going on.
In one glance, it was.
These kind of games that move the screen around depending on where people are, kind of annoy me. because if one person legs it off into the corner, then the whole screen pans out all of a sudden and you can't really see what's going on. I like to have a kind of fixed viewpoint so I know exactly where everything is. Right, look, that was Hyper Brawl. Hyper Brawl Tournament?
Yeah.
Tournament.
You can sign up for the
Hyper Brawl Tournament
beta now, I think.
Yeah, I signed up for the beta.
Same here. About 9 times because my Capacha thing kept crashing. So I got about 19 emails after saying, you signed up.
Kept crashing?
Yes.
What was... What?
What?
Bad soup.
You know the confirm you're not a robot thing?
Capture.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that
Capture.
Yeah. I thought it was soup.
I thought you said cold tomato soup. I was like, what?
What are you talking about? Right, that was Hyper Brawl. Right, that is essentially all of our crew picks that we all chose as our kind of pick of the show. There were so many things there, and actually we didn't play everything at the show, so there were probably these amazing little gems tucked away somewhere that we didn't actually get to play, or maybe we glossed over because they were a side-scrolling pixel-based game, but actually they were amazing. If there are other things that you guys saw... hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, preferably Twitter, I've got to be perfectly honest, and tell us what you saw that you thought was absolutely amazing. But we had a bunch of other awards as well that were a little bit more targeted. Before we get onto that quickly, on the Sunday when we took my kids, Emily and Eli, we gave them an award each and said, right, these are the Mini Player 2 awards. You get to give these to your picks of the show, the people that you really liked, and they absolutely did not pick the games that I was expecting them to pick.
No.
I thought that they would be going for like Nintendo, because we played a bunch of Nintendo games with them. We played Nintendo Labo stuff with them and Mario Party, a bunch of the bigger titles as well. They went in VR on several occasions, and then we went to what was the name of the company? I can never remember the name of this company, but the guys that were there were so nice.
Coatsink.
We went to Coatsink, and there was a game there that I cannot remember. I can never remember the name of this. The two-headed dog game.
Fogs.
Oh, yeah.
Fogs. We played... It was just there, and I've got to be perfectly honest, while the kids were waiting to go on the Oculus Go VR game that Coatsink had there, I said, to stop them from just, like, randomly making noise, I said, let's come over here and play this game here.
Nice.
And it was called Fogs. And essentially, this game was, you are a sausage dog that has a head on both ends. Right? So I'm not... digestively, I'm not sure how that works. But there's a head on both ends of this dog. And you can play it solo, or you can play it with two of you. And the way they were playing it was with a single pad, and one of them had the left analog stick and one of them had the right analog stick and the trigger on the back of each of respective analog sticks. And so one of them was the red dog head and one of them was the blue dog head. And basically you moved around and pulled the trigger to bite. And the whole thing was puzzles, and you had to move yourself around or pick up a ball and somehow maneuver it into the sausage doggy part of your body and then move it along. Or you had to grab onto objects and move yourself across an obstacle course. Or there was a fan trying to blow
well,
you.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very physicsy and all this kind of very puzzly. And then when it came to the point where the Oculus Go's were free, I said, okay, great, let's go have a go. And they were like, no, we're all right. I want to stay here. We want to stay on this. They absolutely loved it. It was so accessible and so easy. The art style and everything was really... it was just Nintendo-esque, I think is probably the best way that I could put it.
It
was very bold and kind of pastel colours, and it was really nice. They loved it. And at the end of the show, Eli gave that his Mini Player 2 award because he thought it was absolutely fantastic. But the coaching, they had a really good showing this year. They had a whole bunch of stuff there, and loads of it was really good. Then the second Mini Player 2 award went randomly to one of the Transfuser games. So if people haven't been to EGX and you don't know what the Transfuser section is, very briefly, there is a competition on in which people who have had, I think, 6 months to make a game get to turn up. There's about 20 of them. They all get put into their own little section in the Transfuser section, and you play all of the games or as many as you can, and then you get to vote on the game that you thought was the best in the Transfuser section. And at the end of the EGX weekend... Transfuser takes those votes and uses them to weight a decision on which one of these companies gets given £25,000 to help make their game. So for these guys, it's a really big deal, but it means that the majority of the games there are very unfinished and also very experimental. There was one game there that was using lemons as controllers.
That was brilliant.
That was really random, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was a rhythm game, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was the game next to that that she gave her Mini Player 2 award to, which was, and again, I can't remember the name of it. It was Gamma the Aid,
Aurora.
Aurora, that was
it.
Yeah. Which was so... I thought, I genuinely, and I'm terrible at this, again, judging a book by its cover or a game by its graphics, but I looked at Aurora and I thought, it's a colouring in-game.
Yes,
it is basically a colouring in-game. Yeah, you put objects in a little 3D world on an Android tablet and you colour them in. Yeah. And I didn't really look any further than that, but as it turns out, there's this little cat, and it asks you to build things for its friends, and it says, I want to have a tea party or whatever. Can you make me a rainbow tea party? And you have to put all the objects in the world and then colour them in. And Emily was sat at this thing.
Kind of sounds like
at least half an hour she was there.
Absolutely, yeah. Ages. She absolutely loved it. And when we asked her which game that she wanted to give her Mini Player 2 award to, she just immediately said Aurora. Straight away. Yeah. No, there wasn't any question about it. And these guys genuinely seem to be really pleased that they've been picked for this. But she really loved it. She had a whale of a time. And she's since drawn them fan art with the little cat. Yeah, with the little cat that the mascot or the main character of the game. She's done fan art and I've tweeted it to them. So I thought that was really, really nice. But Aurora,
I have an Emily picture of me up on my wall here.
I have an
really?
Emily picture of me. Yeah.
she does like drawing.
I've got it on my fridge.
I'm sorry about that, guys. God, the amount of art that I throw away every year is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Right, look, that's all of the personal awards. I've had to jump through the kids' ones very quickly, but if you want to check out any of the games that we've just spoken about, they are going to be in the show notes. Please, please put them in the show notes, whoever's doing the show notes. Now.
So that'll be me, then.
That'll probably be you. Yeah,
if you've not
definitely
seen it, by the way, on Studio 6 Games, their website, there's a big post about EGX. There is, like, a whole lot. Paragraph about Emily and her drawings after the concert.
Is there really?
Yeah,
no
picture
way.
Of the award with her and everything, yeah.
No way. Okay, I'm going to have to find that because she'll love that if they put that up on the website. She will absolutely love that. Right, look, do we want to take a very, very brief break and then we can get into the targeted awards that we gave, like the indie show, the indie game of the show and the left field game of the show and the other games of the show that I can't remember which awards we gave out now. So it gives me time to prepare which games we're actually speaking about, and also if people go to the toilet. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, brilliant. Right, we're going to take a very quick break, in which whoever is editing the podcast is going to insert something funny and or retro. Go! What even was that? That's,
I don't know, really.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Right, we're back. Hope you had a great time listening to 20 minutes worth of retro tunes or whatever the hell whoever edited it put into this. Right, there's a load of other stuff that we're going to talk about. There's other games that we gave awards to, but before we get to them, we have a tendency as a podcast, we gravitate towards indie games, and that's the kind of thing that we're into. We love discovering new things, but there are a load of great big ticket items that were at EGX that we haven't spoken about. We didn't give them awards because they wouldn't have given a crap about us. couldn't have given any kind of monkeys. But before we go back into the last few awards that we gave out, I just wanted to make a couple of mentions to a few games. One of them was The Division 2. The Ubisoft guys that were there this year, I thought, were brilliant. Although, weirdly, not universally, because the Division 2 stand was great, and the guys seemed to be really into it, and there was a really big queue, and they were there all day. You saw the same people there all day. And I presume they must have been, you know, shifting out so that other people, so they got a break and other people took over. But every time we went there, and we played this game like five times, we saw the same people, and they were like, "Oh, you're back again then."
That was a lot of queuing we did for that, wasn't it?
Oh yeah,
my legs killed after that.
I think at one point we had to queue for a whole 5 minutes.
I know, terrible, but they were really nice. And they were very accommodating. We went in and played the game a bunch of times because there was quite a lot of us at one point. I think that one of the days there was, what, 8 of us there or something? With all the ads that we took. And we went in and we played The Division. Now, Division 1, I know it got slated when it first came out, and we avoided it because of that when it very first came out. But around about, I think it was patch 1.4 or something like that, we got into it. Me and Lee got into it. And I think we tried to play at one point with Lewis, but every device you had it on just exploded, I think. And
my laptop caught fire, and then
it was all bad. But we ended up loving Division 1. So when I saw the E3 footage of Division 2, my immediate reaction is the game's never going to look like that. This is Ubisoft. Yeah, they bullshot all over the place. They are notorious for putting out E3 footage a la Watch Dogs or Rainbow Six Siege or any number of other games that they've put out.
To be fair, Rainbow Six Siege still looks pretty good.
It does look pretty good, but the footage that they put out at E3 is nothing like the actual game ended up being. And then they have this tendency to put kind of actors in who are playing the game and doing all this Roger Charlie bollocks and making it sound like they're pros playing the game. So I took all of that with a pinch of salt. So when we went to actually go play it, I thought, right, now I'm expecting this to not actually be anything like the game that we saw at E3.
Yeah.
It was exactly the game that we saw at E3. It was absolutely stunning.
It looked amazing. So good.
It felt brilliant. And this was running on Xbox One X's. Mm-hmm. So it was like an Xbox One X enhanced game. And it was a snippet of the game, which was basically the exact same mission that they played and showed at E3. And in you go, and you have got an objective. You've got to take over this area. Now, they made a great choice. Now, when we played The Division 1 for the very first time at EGX back in, what, 2014, 2015? I can't remember which one it was. Was it 15? They made a mistake, in my opinion, where the beginning part of the demo that we were playing was PvE. So it was us four people all shooting NPCs, and we all got quite tactical and coordinated about it, and we were calling targets and all the rest of it, and it felt really nice. And then, without really much warning, we ended up in what we now know to be the Dark Zone against every other team of four people that were currently playing the demo at that time. And we didn't know that this was going to happen before we went into it, and we went into it. And the experience completely changed. And all of a sudden, you're just being ganked left, right, and centre by people who didn't need to gank you. Because they had a choice. You could either work together and extract and get all of the loot, or you could just kill everybody else and try and steal all their stuff. And obviously, nobody's invested in their character, and that's what they did.
Yeah, but ultimately, people are inherently awful. So,
yeah, Coleman.
Without exception.
Who killed
Coleman.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I came away from the Division 1 with a bit of a bad taste in my mouth, thinking, I don't want to... I felt like, okay, I'm going to be forced to PvP in this game, and I don't want to.
It did put us off getting it for a long time, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. As it turned out, you don't have to PvP in the Division 1 at all if you don't want to. And it's a much better game for it, in my opinion, but if you enjoy that kind of content, then you can do it. But the demo really put me off. In contrast, Division 2... the demo that we played there at EGX this year was all PvE. There was no PvP content in it whatsoever, and it felt so good. It felt like we were all playing as a team. Everybody picked had like an archetype, so there was a sniper and an assault person and a somebody else and a somebody else. And you all had a role to play, and we had to assault this kind of base that had been taken over by enemies and then work together to kill them, and big bad guys turned up and medium-sized bad guys turned up, and I really enjoyed it. And it looked so stunning. Like, all of the graphics looked exactly like the demo at E3 did. I thought it was amazing.
The biggest compliment I could give this game is that I was able to play it successfully and felt like I was doing really well as well with a pad. I'm not a pad player. I'm allergic to playing first-person shooters with a pad. I can't aim. I end up looking at the sky, looking at the ground, looking at the sky, looking at the ground, and running around just, you know, getting frustrated. And quite a lot of EGX 2015 was spent doing that, and last year as well. And it kind of concerned me enough that I actually spent some time practicing. Not a lot of time, but practicing with the pad at home before we went to EGX this year. But I needn't worried. It was fantastic. I could snap off headshots with a sniper rifle in the Division 2, and it felt so good. By contrast, we went to another game that we might speak about soon, Metro Exodus, and I struggled
with the pad.
They've got it right. They've got it. The controls feel brilliant.
Yeah, I love this. This has sold me. I am terrible. I do not want to buy any Ubisoft game at release. Just because they've just got a bad... I love Ubisoft games, don't get me wrong, but they've got such a bad reputation for release day bugs and problems. And
they've just released Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah.
Which is actually getting some pretty good reviews, despite it looking like dog shit at the
Assassin's Creed game.
So, well, this is let's wrap on the Division ever so quickly, and then we'll move over to that. So, look, I came away from the Division thinking two things. Firstly, the guys that were running the show, the stand for Division, were absolutely excellent and almost on their own endeared me towards the game really, really well. And then the game was excellent. Absolutely excellent. And yeah, all right, it could change. And yes, all right, they might decide, okay, we need to downplay the graphics a lot more because the, you know, older generation Xbox Ones or Xbox One S is just not going to be able to handle it. But hopefully that's variable. Like, they'll reduce the amount of clutter on the consoles that can't handle it and leave the ones that can handle it with this amazing level of detail that they've already got. But I came away from it thinking, I've got to get this. I absolutely have to get this game.
Screw the Xbox players, we're playing on PC.
Yeah, so it won't be a problem.
I have to play on a mouse.
Yeah. Right, so then, right next to that, on another Ubisoft stand, was Assassin's Creed Origins. Now, this was almost a completely bipolar showing, because to start with, it was not immediately obvious where you were supposed to queue for this game, to the point where almost everybody who was walking up to the queue was saying to the incredibly disinterested person stood at the front of the stand, where am I supposed to queue? And when I went up and said that, she just made this really flamboyant, dismissive gesture to, like, the other end of the stand. And I was like, oh, thanks. That's not really very helpful. As if it was really obvious. Yeah, if it was really obvious, then I would have gone that way. But she did that to a bunch of people. And there's a few people that got put off. I saw them all just going, do you know what? I'm not even going to bother. I'm not going to queue. Actually, I kind of wish I hadn't have bothered, I've got to be honest. Because this demo was essentially, it dropped you in, presumably into the middle of the game. You got to pick whether you were the male or the female character. I picked the female character. And then you kind of get put into an area, like a market area, and then you can either run off and just explore and do some stuff, or you can talk to an NPC that puts you into this gigantic battle. This just massive battle. I've never seen the likes of it in Assassin's Creed before, where there must have been 1,000 NPCs on this beach, having a massive fight. And that seems like a great idea, yeah? It seems like a really cool addition, a different thing to Assassin's Creed that they haven't done before.
When we were in the queue, we were, you know, chatting away, and then this was happening on the screens, you know, three or four people deep away from us, and I was actually craning my neck and thinking, wow, look at that. That's actually quite impressive. I'm looking forward to playing this.
Yeah, and if you take all of the mechanics that we love from previous Assassin's Creed games, which is the counter-attacking and the kind of the twitch mechanisms that allow you to take on multiple enemies at once,
all that stuff
you look
we
at
love.
That. Yeah, all that stuff we love. You look at that mechanism and you think, this is going to be really good fun. And then when you sit down on it, you realise that all of those great mechanisms that you love from previous Assassin's Creed games are completely gone. They've removed them all. They don't exist.
Me and Lewis joined the queue for this and we stood there for about 15 minutes.
If that.
And we just thought, nah, fuck this, this is rubbish. Just left
I think you made the right choice. I think you made the right choice. And it might have just been the code that they had.
I think we went to get
on.
A pasty instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. Honestly, the level of enjoyment you got out of that pasty, I think, probably would have been higher than the amount I got out of Assassin's Creed. I went in, I carried... Now, the other guys tried this battle maybe a couple of times and then just went, fuck this noise, and went off and did other stuff and did some exploring. Yeah. I continuously kept trying to do the battle because I kept thinking there is something that I'm missing here because I just keep dying. And I'm looking for the, like, dodge or counter button, trying to work out what's going on. Now, there's no laminated sheet with the controls on it. Pushing pause and going to the options menu takes you to the code options menu where there is no indication whatsoever what the controls are. And eventually, I called over the incredibly disinterested bitch that gestured to me earlier on and said,
meow.
How do I counterattack? And she said, oh, there is no counterattack. And I went, okay. So I then proceeded to push every single button on the pad until I figured out what counterattack was. It turned out there is one, but it doesn't work in any way like the previous Assassin's Creed games. It's more of a block that if you push it at the right time, you dodge the incoming attack. But I couldn't work out a way of locking myself onto the person I was attacking. I couldn't
yeah, there was
work
no
out
lock
to...
on.
There was no flow. There was absolutely no flow to the combat at all.
You just
it felt
dived
really
around and waited for an opportunity.
On top of that, considering it was running on an Xbox One X, it kept lagging.
It looked
because it was
so
shit
many.
Code.
Oh, yeah. So bad.
For a
so
game
bad.
That, you know, if was you, so close to release as well.
If you compare that with how Spider-Man ran, I know that's already out and it's a complete game, but that combat was superb. And
yeah, but they shouldn't have been.
So but the swinging around was great.
Oh, it's amazing.
Really good.
Yeah. You could spend hours doing that.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed, nope. Just note for me for a bunch of different reasons, and it might be great, but considering the game was literally about to come out a week later, to have a code that was that shonky, if that isn't reflective of the final game, that it shouldn't have been there. And,
absolutely.
But weirdly, though, we say that, there were other games that should have been there that weren't. Forza Horizon 4 has just come out this week, a couple of weeks after EGX, completely absent from EGX.
Oh, no, actually, I have to correct you there, because myself and Lewis sat down and played the Forza Horizon 4 demo on the Shadow stand.
Ah, on Shadow. Yeah, but, I mean, the game itself wasn't there.
Well, no, it wasn't there. It wasn't there officially.
Yeah. No.
Very conspicuous by its absence.
And
Red
then
Dead.
There was no Red Dead 2?
Yeah. Why yeah? not that? Well,
they never come to this, though. Rockstar never come to these things.
No.
They didn't do a GTA. They've already got their audience.
They don't need to get new
people. They don't need to big themselves up, do they?
Give a monkeys about us.
No.
So Spider-Man, let's loop quickly to Spider-Man. We don't need to talk about it too long.
You missed another big one. FIFA 19, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was.
I think that might be FIFA 18. Oh, it was. Yeah, no, you're right. It was.
Oh, okay.
It was. There was a bunch of stuff on the Switch, actually.
But
EA
been out
in
on the
general
for
wasn't
fucking ages.
Yeah.
Fortnite.
So, Spider-Man. I know the game's already out. I played it there. I don't have a PS4, and I've never had any real massive interest in getting a PS4. I played Spider-Man. I could get a PS4.
Really?
Yeah.
It was good. I really, really enjoyed it.
Really?
Quite
a console seller.
I mean, I'll wait for it to come out on a better
platform. There are some other good games on there.
The thing, right? So just
have you still got your Vita, Rich?
I don't know.
Oh, never mind. Then.
No, I sold it. So Spider-Man. I know it's out, so there's no point talking about it too much. Loads of people have already had their hands on it. My game buggered up. I'm not 100% sure what happened, but I never actually managed to get to the boss fight. So I went to the location where the boss fight was. And it wouldn't let me in. Just nothing happened.
Not sure it's the game.
I thought you said that you couldn't find the boss fight, and then
I didn't. I thought at the time that I couldn't find the boss fight, but it turns out that I did find the boss fight, which was like the town hall place with all the cops outside of it.
Yeah.
I did find it, but I didn't let me in. There was no trigger. There was nothing to actually get me into it. No, nothing going on. So I ran around a bit and instead did a load of the side missions, and I found it. I really, really liked it. It was very much the Batman Arkham games combat amped up to Spider-Man 12. with all of his cool abilities, and it felt really nice and easy to get into, but extremely satisfying with everything that was going on.
Yeah, once you got into a flow of combat with the dodging and the countering and the reverse and all that sort of stuff, it was so slick.
Yeah, really satisfying to
play. And not walk over easy as well.
It wasn't. Good, I mean, in fact, out of all of us, I think Elle was the only person to actually beat the boss.
Yeah, she did.
Elle, good at sports ball and spider.
Yeah.
I'm claiming all a moral victory on that one.
No, there are no moral victories to Spider-Man Lee. No.
You either win or you don't. Right, so last big-ish game, unless somebody wants to throw another one in, last big-ish game of EGX that I think all of us played was Metro Exodus.
Yes.
Right. There's going to be a couple of mares here. Firstly, I did not know that a game could look this good on an Xbox.
Well, that's the One X.
On an Xbox One X.
I know it was a One X.
On nearly 500 quid's worth of console.
Yeah, I know. But, God, if you'd have told me that game was running on a high-end PC, I would believe you.
On nearly 500 quid's worth of console and probably another £5 to £1,000 worth of TV.
Yeah, that's true. They had very good screens. But no, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really good. The game got itself in a little bit of a tiz. I mean, it's obvious that the game's designed to be quite stealthy.
Yeah.
And when you play like I play, which...
the complete opposite of stealth.
Yeah, spoiler alert, not particularly stealthy. the game didn't really seem to handle it all that well. So the NPCs always, they wanted to kind of hide themselves and secrete themselves in a building and round corners, and when I just blasted in at 500 miles per hour with a shotgun, they didn't react quick enough to do anything about me, so I just ranged around the entire place nailing everybody. But one really nice touch that I didn't really expect is I'm in there and I'm just blasting up this entire place that I was supposed to be taking out very silently, and about halfway through taking out the town, a bunch of the NPCs just went, nope, fuck this. Can't beat him. And they all put their arms up, dropped their weapons, and walked out into the open and said, I surrender.
That's nice.
And I was like, what the hell? At which point, Lucy's just said, we have already covered this. I forgot I'd spoken about this in one of the carpool podcasts.
And then I interjected. And
then Lewis interjected.
You murked someone right in the mouth with a fucking blade.
Yeah. Yep, which was excellent. He leant over and pushed a button on my pad, which resulted in me shiving somebody in the gob end. Look, does anybody have anything they want to talk about Metro, or is there any other more AAA games that we didn't give awards to that anybody else wants to mention before we move on to the final awards that we gave out?
Mario Party. It's Mario
Party. So nobody
Party,
wants to say anything.
It's fucking fun.
Yeah, I'll say this about it. I didn't realise the Switch was capable of graphics like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With four people on the screen all at one time, it looked really good. Really good.
I've left the EGX wanting a Switch.
Mm. I think we kind of did a little bit.
Yeah, this is the first time that's happened. The showing from Nintendo this year was really good. Their queue management was excellent. They got everybody amped
sure
up.
That there's some audio of most of us saying pre-EGX on a recent podcast that, no, I'm not interested in a Switch. And I said that after last year when you and I went, we both wanted a Switch while we were there, and then you got home and was like, that's a lot of money. And I was like, I haven't really got the money to spend on that either. Do we still feel the same way?
I think Mario Party is a little bit of a game changer, I've got to be honest.
Mario Party
was always a reason to have a Switch for me.
However,
it is again. Right.
It is a 350 quid console. Oof. To be able to... You then have to put another £45 to £50 on top of that for the game.
The controller.
And then another between...
70 quid, wasn't it?
Yeah, between £60 and £80 for two more Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
This is the same process I went through every
We're now nearly talking about 500 quid's worth of console.
Yeah, God damn it, Nintendo! But I want to play the Pokemon's game.
It does feel like an awful
game.
Lot of money. But at the same time, if you look at what you're getting out of that, you're getting a couch gaming device that has got all the entertainment value that we used to enjoy out of couch gaming, console gaming when we were younger. as well as
you're having to pay quite a big premium
paying the premium, but then still cheaper than the Xbox One X, and people are dropping cash on that like it's going out of fashion. So,
and it's portable.
It is portable, and the graphics are very, very impressive. It is difficult. If it came down in price to a bit of a more sensible price, and do you know what? The Joy-Con controller thing, it is like £60-65 or something for a full Joy-Con controller set to get the second two Joy-Con controllers. But it's £50 for an Xbox One controller, which isn't a million miles away.
Yeah, but
an
Xbox One controller is 100 times more comfortable than a single Joy-Con.
Yeah, than those tiny little Joy-Con things.
Yeah.
I wonder who's going to be the first one of the crew to actually pull the trigger.
I think it has to be Ross.
Shovel-sized hands like me and Ross, they're going to be really uncomfortable.
I don't know. I think I might pull the trigger first because I'm terrible at purchasing things that I want.
What, like the Murloc onesies?
Look, it was there and I needed it.
Stop!
The other thing, and they didn't have these playable, which I thought was a fairly sensible idea by Nintendo, but there was also posters up showing that Doom and Diablo 3 and Bayonetta... I didn't see them being playable.
There was an 18-plus section. So they had
It was a
Diablo,
wasn't
Wolfenstein,
it?
And Bayonetta.
Yeah, see, that leans me towards it a little bit more, because all of those games handheld... sounds pretty good to me, but then do I handheld game or not? I don't really know.
They had Dibbles 2 on there. I could replay Dibbles 2.
The Nintendo Labo stuff I thought was really good as well. I liked the Nintendo Labo stuff, and the kids absolutely adored it. It was really entertaining.
But,
again,
you're paying £70 for a bit of cardboard box.
Yeah. Yeah, and the game and all the rest of it. It's difficult. Nintendo have always been terrible with their peripherals, and peripherals have always been an extremely expensive part of Nintendo gaming, and that hasn't changed. It's exactly
it's
the same
worse.
As it's always been.
if anything, I
don't know. They weren't trying to market a weird thing that you stood on in the middle of your room, or a bike.
Yeah, they're charging you £78 for cardboard.
I know.
Okay,
look,
cardboard and the
yet.
Software. But the thing is, Rich, is you've got three... By your own admission, boisterous kids. How long is that cardboard going to last?
How long will the console last? Fuck the cardboard, I'm not sure. that's one of the difficulties. Buying a single console with the intent that all of the kids are able to play it is a one-way ticket to a deathmatch environment in my house. I don't think it's a good idea. So, I don't know. Again, the same as last year, it's endeared me towards the Switch. And I came away going, oh, wow, I could really go for a Switch. And then I realised that I've got a family. And, I mean, if it was just mine, I could probably get away with it, but I don't know how long I could keep one secret.
Well, you're lucky your brother's got one already, and he says he's going to get Mario Party, so...
Yeah, you're in a decent position. Right, let's shift on. Is there any last other things that we want to talk about? There is one actual other thing, but I want to get into the last awards that we gave out, otherwise this is going to really run on.
Yeah, let's do this.
Move it on.
Yeah, let's do these awards, the last few awards. Unless somebody's got something they really want to blurt out right now.
I've just got one sentence. Alchemic Cutie was good.
Okay.
Yes, go. Alchemic Cutie was good.
Yeah, that is a good sentence. Okay, right, look, we're going to move on very quickly. There were, I think, three other awards that we gave out, other than the crew choices of the show. We gave out Best Indie Game, Best Left Field Game, and Transfuser Game of the Show. I want to jump in at Best Indie Game. Because this blindsided me. Now, this is the game that we spoke about a little bit earlier that had actually been out for 2 years, and I'd never heard of it. And the only reason that they were there was because they were just about to bring out this game on the Switch, and they were trying to showcase it so everybody knew about it. And now, weirdly, they didn't have it playable on the Switch, but they had it playable on, I think it was PC, was it?
Yeah.
It might have even been PlayStation, I'm not sure. I'm going to give this to somebody else rather than me yapping about it. Lewis, do you want to talk about this game?
Okay, so this is Tricky Towers, which is a Tetris-style tower-building multiplayer game. Multiplayer? Co-op? Multiplayer game.
No, it's multiplayer, yeah.
And honestly, it's probably the best fun that I had all weekend.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I've played this loads since we got back as well.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to sit and play it on my own. Just plug my Shadow, plug my... phone it, connect my phone up to my Xbox controller, get it running on my Shadow, and yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. works so nicely.
This is, think of Tetris, and it is just kind of Tetris. However, it's got like four different game styles, which are race, puzzle, survival, and I think there might be another one as well, I can't remember off the top of my head. The biggest kicker with this is that the Tetris blocks have all got physics attached to them. So if you hang a block off the edge of another block and it's not weighted enough or it's not locked in or interlocked with what you've been building, then it will fall off the edge. Or it will pull a bunch of other blocks off the edge with it. And as you get higher and higher and higher, the whole tower starts swaying. And you've got to put blocks down at the sides to shore it up and make it more structurally sound. And you've got, like, the shoulder buttons on the pads bump blocks left and right, kind of rushes them left and right. So you can slot them in to the left or the right of your construction. And then on top of that, you've got Mario Kart-style attacks that you can use against the other people that are playing on the same screen to attack them and try and knock their tower down, or spells that you can use on your own tower to make it more stable and keep you going for longer. And it was just brilliant. It was just inspired. I know they've had a long time to get it right, but it worked really, really well. I had an awful lot of fun playing this.
I think this is the game that we all played the most.
Because
whenever we walked over, the guys were like, oh, back again. Like, I think we went over and played it four different times over the course of one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played it three or four times with various different people.
Yeah. Yeah, so, excellent.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I will say is, if you're not sure, if you look at this on Steam, Tricky Towers it's called, it's $11.99. Now, this is in the realms of, if I saw this on Steam and looked at the game, and I was like, it's a Tetris game, I'd go, $11.99? Am I interested? Do I want... If you're a couch gamer, if you're the kind of person that has people over to your house and you play things like Overcooked or anything like that, get this game. It is so good. It's perfect for LAN parties, for couch gaming and all this kind of stuff. And the different game modes will keep you entertained. I genuinely really enjoyed it. The kids loved it. We loved it. I've played it a bunch. This is the one that I've played more since I got back than any of the other games that we played while we were there over the weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
And we gave this Indie Game of the Show. But in fairness, I think possibly just Game of the Show would have worked.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was it was the most, like I said, the most fun you had that weekend, probably mine as well. It was just a really fun game to play, and I've played it since I've been home as well.
Yeah. Hmm. Elle, did you play this?
I did.
You did? What was your
take? Did a good winning.
Did a good winning.
Yeah.
Elle, that works for every game that you played over the entire
weekend.
Yeah,
won the weekend, basically.
Yeah. Essentially.
I thought it was really fun. For me, these kind of games have limited, like, replayability. Just because I need something more. But I did have a heck of a time. Like, I think it's going to be a brilliant party game or a brilliant game when you have friends around.
See, I do quite a lot of couch gaming and party gaming where we have people around to play this kind of stuff. And for me, it was perfect. I could immediately see how it would fit in with my group of friends, and it worked really nicely.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're the kind of person that likes to have their own space, right? This is me. I am having a one-to-one relationship with my monitor right now.
Yeah.
Possibly this is, but there is a single player campaign. There is a single player set of levels, almost like Angry Birds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where you've got a bunch of challenges that you need to, trials that you need to go through single player, and that's entertaining to play on your own, I found.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Awesome. Right, we're going to move on. Unless anybody's got anything else they want to say about Tricky Towers, we'll move on to the next game.
Well, Lewis has just sent me a link to the tournament kit for Tricky Towers they've got on their website, where you can download like Papercraft Wizard crowns, a tournament roster with official rules, and the third thing, a 3D printable Super Cup.
Oh, nice.
What?
Yeah.
You can make your own tournament at home.
And you've got a 3D printer.
I've got a 3D printer. I might have to do this. And I also need to find some local friends to play the game with. So
I might need to find some friends.
3D print them.
I might just 3D print the friends as well as the cup. It's a good plan.
Actually, it's online as well, so it's good.
And the guys that were there are actually really good as well. We talk about the people that were running the stands, but they were really nice people. Right,
they were
so
really nice to us.
There are two more awards that we gave out. It was Best Left Field Game and Transfuser Game of the Show. I'm going to leave Best Left Field Game for a minute because I think a few of us are going to want to talk about that. Transfuser game of the show. So I spoke a little bit earlier about what the Transfuser section was and a competition that they had going on. And this is the game that we all voted for the most. I think over the 3 or 4 days that we were voting for the Transfuser games, which is completely legitimate, by the way, that's not weighting the scales, we voted for this game, I think, every day, because we kept going back and playing it and we kept really enjoying it. Ross, would you like to speak a little bit about this one?
Yeah, this is Dodgeball. It's all against all, four-player all against all Dodgeball. We played two different levels, one in the graveyard, one on the streets, I think. And the streets one, you had a target to hit, which would make a car fly over a ramp and then smash into people that were in the right. Yeah, there was a little target
I didn't know how you did that.
There was also a fire hydrant that you could hit, which would set off the water, which would knock people over. It was such a fun game. Me and Elle played it with your kids, and I played it with you guys, and I played about 5 or 6 times, and I voted every time. It was the most fun game I had there. It's really basic. I mean, you throw the ball to try and hit your opponent, and that's it. But I speak to the guys while someone else was playing. They threw their entire game out in May, I think. So this game now is what they've made in the past 3 months, basically.
I did not know that. So this is called Dodge Brawl.
Yeah.
Yeah? Now, confusingly, when I went to look this up after the show, there have been about 5 different games called Dodge Brawl.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I don't think they picked their name particularly well.
No.
I think they might need to rebrand it ever so slightly. But if we can find it, if we can find a link to the actual page, and bearing in mind that this was just a bunch of guys who were making this in their spare time who've got other jobs, yes. I'm not entirely sure that they've got a website or anything yet. But, you beckoned me over to play this, and it was just a bit of a tongue-in-cheek, cartoon-esque dodgeball game in which you spawn with a ball. Or no, you have to collect the ball, don't you?
Yes, yeah. 4 of them in the middle of the level to start with, and then you go and get them.
And one button is hurl the ball at somebody else's face.
Yep.
And the other button is catch the ball. Now, did anybody ever actually catch a ball?
Yeah, me and Ross did when we played it first time.
Did you?
Yes.
I did not.
You have to time it perfectly.
I had a few bounce off my face as well, but I did eventually catch one.
One of the really entertaining parts of this game, I thought, was the... And it's silly, but it's certain little touches on games that make it stick in your memory. The ragdoll physics on the character, when you got hit by a ball and then got
so
knocked
good.
Out of the game or lost one of your lives, was so funny. And it was like a little sound when you get hit, and then your character just fucking ragdolls
limply
off into the distance. I thought this was really funny. It was nice and fast-paced. Now, compared this to Hyper Brawl, which is the other one that you spoke about a little bit earlier, I found this more fast-paced, and because of that, more entertaining than I found Hyper Brawl. But Hyper Brawl was way more tactical, and it was more of a, I guess, a more of a complete game than this one. But I thought this was an awful lot of fun.
It was brilliant.
This one was a great idea with fantastic controls. They'd nailed the controls.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they'd completely thrown out the game that they were working on and just started from scratch.
Yeah, literally in May, they said. So what's that, 3 months?
Yeah.
Also, what, 4 months, yeah.
They also won the people vote, the public vote at for Transfuser at EGX as well.
Which may have entirely been our votes. But yeah, we backed the winner there, which I don't think we've done on previous years.
No.
I don't think we have.
We have a tendency to back the weird lemon controller games or something like that nobody else voted for. I really enjoyed this. The guys that were running it. Now, weirdly though... I think this is because they're doing this as a hobby rather than being paid to make the game. But there was like 8 of them, wasn't there?
No, there's a team of 4.
There was a lot of them.
There's a team of 4, and they had extra people with them. But they're all uni students. They're all students at the University of South Wales.
Yeah, I think they were doing it for their dissertation or something, weren't they?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was leaning in that direction. Yeah, but they were absolutely brilliant guys, and they've made a fantastic game. And I think they were genuinely surprised that so many people liked it. They had this kind of look of shock on their face. We went over to them on the Sunday and said, look, when does it finish? When do you guys find out whether or not you won? Because we've been voting for you all weekend and really, really enjoy your game. And the guys, there were 2 of them there when we went up and spoke to them, and they went, we already won. We were like, yes! But no, that was really, really entertaining. Right, we need to move on to the final game that we gave an award to. Unless anybody wants to say anything else about Dodge Brawl before we move on.
No, it's great. Just look out for it. Get it when it comes out. I'm sure it's not going to be expensive.
Yeah.
No, I reckon it will come out as well. And hopefully, I think they're going to get the backing from the Transfuser people as well. So this is going to be something that we're going to see. Right. Best left field game. I'm going to hand this over to Lee, if that's okay, to explain this.
I saw this before we went. I saw this on the list, and I saw some videos of this before we went, and I thought, this looks quite interesting. And we wandered through left field, and I spotted it, and I said, oh, I need to play this. I waited my turn, sat down, and on at least three occasions, I just let rip with a big laugh playing through the levels, because it's one of those games where stuff happens that you don't expect. So it's golf, but it's not golf.
Yep.
It's made by people that don't like golf. And it's a golf game. So you don't necessarily use a ball.
It's an anti-golf game.
Yeah.
It's anti-golf.
It's not necessary. No. It's not necessarily a hole to aim at.
This is called What the Golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just bonkers. It's just to explain one of the levels. This is one of the things. Pick a level and explain one of the levels.
So there's one level that you have to get a hole in one. Except the hole is a one.
Yep, it's a giant one.
And the ball is the hole.
And the ball is the hole. So you pull back on the mouse or whatever the control is, and you aim, and all of a sudden this hole just moves. Or there's another one where you pull back, and you're expecting the ball to move, and the house moves. The house flips over and goes. But they also put in some really good gameplay mechanics and control systems in it. There's one where you've got a car to get to the top of it. It's a bit like a rally course up this hill. And when you pull back to aim, the time slows down, so that you can use that as a way to plan your next move, and you don't feel too flustered when you're playing. Otherwise, it would be just be impossible to get that car up there.
Yeah.
There's so many nice touches like that in this game, especially Super Putt.
It's really difficult to kind of get, you don't want to give too much of this game away, because half the enjoyment is in people discovering it for themselves. But there was one point where I was watching over Lewis's shoulder, and I couldn't tell whether he was particularly enamored by the game or not. And he was there, he had a semi-serious face. I thought he was either concentrating or didn't like it.
That's
and then
face.
At one point he pulled the controller back, like pulled the aim thing back, and then fucked a cat off into the distance, and then just broke down. Just completely lost it. Oh, it's absolutely brilliant. It had so many entertaining moments in it. They had around the game, they had like all these messages that had been written on the wall. Like, if we were forced to make a golf game, this is the game we would have made.
Yeah.
The super hot team. and things like that. I was just really entertaining. Really good.
One of us to play it this year at EGX, and I spent the whole of the next 4 days telling everybody, "You've got to play this game."
Yeah,
you've got to play this game. So yeah, that it got our award for left field. I was quite
tough. Best left field.
And there was some really good stuff in left field as well.
There was good stuff in left field. There was meow, a cat meow. Dragon. Meow meow. That was really good fun. There's another one that I want to talk about. Look, does anybody have anything else they want to say about Super Putt before we move on?
I'm looking forward to it come out.
Mm. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I hope they can bring it out on mobile platforms as well.
Yes, they are.
Right, look, in the left field section, there is one more game that I want to talk about, and this is almost an honourable mention kind of thing, and I felt kind of bad at the end of the weekend not giving it any award, but they had a ringer, which felt a little bit like cheating. So we met at this year's EGX, the ever effervescent and fantastic Simon Marshall, a la the guy that came up with Glez Games, and now works for a PR company, I can't remember the name.
Kinetic Atom.
Thank you very much. And they had a game there called Lewis, Please Help Me Again.
What?
TikTok, A Tale for Two.
That's a Tale for Two. That was it. Right.
It was so good.
Now, I've gone to everybody else, apart from Elle. I've kept this one. Elle, can you explain, please, TikTok, A Tale for Two, and just, like, we're going to blaster it fairly quickly, but you're a puzzly gamer, aren't you?
I like puzzles.
You are a puzzle.
I am an enigma wrapped in a puzzle game.
Do you want to explain this game?
Sure. So you have a game which presents itself in one of two copies. The two machines that you play it across do not need to be connected in any way, shape or form. You can literally play this game across Skype. In fact, it is probably better if you play it across Skype, because then if you know the person sat next to you isn't progressing the game because they can't see that progressing the game is the right option to do, you won't get frustrated with them.
I was not annoyed at all at your brother, Rich.
Oh, oh no!
She's not so, holding her
grudge. No, it's fine.
No, so, it's fine, she says through gritted teeth.
Yeah.
We could have totally won. We could have won. We could have had it all.
Oh, he came away. He came away so apologetic after that.
I know. And that's why I can't hate him. He was so.
He had L fear.
Just the glare. So yes, you get presented one or two versions of this game, which is something that I really quite enjoy. You have to work together in order to solve these puzzles. I won't go into too much detail surrounding the puzzles, because as you know with puzzles, once you know the secret to them, there is no point. It is a game best explored. It is really, really nice, easy to understand. Some of the puzzles are quite quirky. They're really nice to figure out. Like, you feel quite accomplished when you do figure out things, like, quite naturally. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for people who play in twos. Yeah, it's a really good game. It's definitely on my purchase list.
You can only play in twos. Well, you could cheat.
Well, no.
You could cheat.
Two devices to play on your own.
Yeah. I know that occasionally there were people, you know, with solo would walk up, sit down on one of the machines, sort of like sit there
solo
for a little while, try and figure out a puzzle by themselves, and then not be able to do anything, and they'd get up and go away.
So the thing that I really enjoyed about this was the fact that the game wasn't networked at all.
Yeah.
It was two copies. You both launched a copy of the game, but the games didn't talk to each other. Like, nothing that you did in your game directly affected the narrative of what was going on in the other game, but you had to talk to the other person. So this is a game that could be played across any platform, because they're not talking to each other directly. It can be played over the phone, over Skype, in the same room. It doesn't matter.
Fuck you, just, Sony.
Yeah, it was just really, it was really good.
Yeah, I really like it. Replayability will be very limited, because again,
negligible.
However, I don't mind paying for an enjoyable experience. Like, if it's something that I have a lot of fun with, I don't mind putting money into it. And it was really, really nice. Really nicely presented, really intuitive. It's great. Good job.
And again, this was another one of those ones that was being presented by an amazing group of people who were really happy to talk about everything about the games that they were there to showcase. And I said before, Simon Marshall, who is amazing, and we've actually had Simon on the show before, many, many years ago now, I think, possibly twice.
I did ask him, I said twice.
And it was really nice to meet him there. He was really excited. He was there for, I think, 2 days, and then he had to head back.
So
then
lovely.
I think it was Kat
and Karina.
Kat and Karina were the other two people there, and they were fantastic as well. So that gets my honourable mention for game of the show that we didn't give an award to, for two reasons. One, unfortunately, What the Golf sniped it slightly because of the mirth content of it. But also, it felt a little bit cheap giving an award to one of our friends. It felt like it was weighted, weighted ever so slightly.
Do we call this the pity award, or
no? No, that would be he will hate us forever.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
We cannot do that. Right, look, we've spoken about absolutely tons and tons of games. Is there anything else that we want, that anybody wants to mention about EGX this year, or any game that stood out that they want to talk about very quickly before we move on and call this a wrap?
Well, there's lots of things that I'd like to talk about, but I think
This is going to be a four-hour podcast, otherwise.
Yeah, we'll have to drop them into other shows. If we get a little bit more FaceTime with them, maybe we'll drop them into another show in future.
Yeah.
Lewis, anything you want to talk about?
Nope, nothing from me.
Nope. Ross?
Yeah, spending time with you guys is great.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Oh, so wholesome.
Oh, look at that bromance. It was...
Spending time with really you guys was great, but also I was glad to see the back of all of you.
Like any good family, there are limits to the amount of time you want to spend with people.
You miss us, Lewis.
I love you guys, but we spent probably Ross and I probably spent the best part of 70
full days together.
Yeah, 70 odd hours. No, 90 odd hours together. Yeah.
I don't see my wife that much in a week.
In close proximity on a bus as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that was just a journey up several hours. Yeah. Oh my word. Right. That's it then. I'm going to leave you with this little piece of important knowledge. At the end of the EGX weekend, there is one person that walked away with the top scores on Beat Saber across every single platform.
I think we can leave it there.
I've got two thumbs and they're currently pointed at this guy. We played Beat Saber on basically every single platform that it was available on. PlayStation VR, which possibly we'll talk about at some point, but I know we did on one of the, either the live or the carpool casts.
Yeah.
And on the Vita Pro?
Vive Pro.
And the Oculus Rift. And came away with mega top scores across all the platforms that I felt really happy about, and that is possibly the biggest achievement that I will ever get in my entire life. And that's it.
Don't you have three children and you're married?
No, that doesn't count. None of that counts.
Game's not that hard. I did hard and did all right.
Oh, no, he had to drop that in.
That was one of the best moments in the show for me.
Oh, that was so good.
Jaw-droppingly good.
So Ross has been shying away from VR for basically the entire show, and Ross has got this kind of hate-hate relationship with VR in that he hates it, but at the same time, he hates the idea of it. And so he'd kind of been vehemently shunning all VR titles, and I say that, but actually had been in a couple. And then suddenly he goes over to the Intel stand, which, by the way, they were great guys as well, and hopped on Beat Saber in Oculus Rift after never being in an Oculus Rift before in his life, to my knowledge, and proceeded to stick Beat Saber, a game that he'd never played before, on the hard setting, which if you've ever played Beat Saber, you will know that you just don't ever do that, and stormed it. Absolutely stormed it. I've never seen a Treant move so fast in my entire life. It was a thing to behold. I think we've got footage of that as well, haven't we?
I've actually tried playing it standing on a box, and it's not because of his height.
It's not as easy.
No.
Right, that's EGX 2018 in a fucking massive nutshell. I think that's probably everything that we're going to talk about. This needs to be edited down to about 15 minutes worth of fast-paced content. Right then, thank you everybody for listening. You can find us all over the bloody shop. You can find us on Twitter at ReadyP2. You can find us on Facebook somewhere. I can't remember the name of it. It's Ready. Just search ReadyPlayer2.
/ReadyPlayer2.
/ReadyPlayer2. You can find us on Acast, where we host our podcast, at ReadyP2.
/ReadyP2.
/ReadyPlayer2. Feels like possibly Lewis should be doing this. You can find us on Twitch, and we are doing absolutely loads of Twitch streaming at the moment. I'm currently going to Twitch so I can figure out what it's called. There we go. It's twitch.tv/ReadyP2. We've done some Mixer and some YouTube streaming and stuff like that.
To save Rich's voice and to actually get the right length, if you go to our Twitter, which is /ReadyP2 or @ReadyP2, our pinned tweet has links to pretty much wherever you can find us.
Everything. Do you know what? Just fucking Google us. That's it. Actually, do you know what?
You can't really do that anymore.
No, you can't do that because everybody's asking for a sequel to the movie.
Twat Faces book.
Yeah.
God damn it.
There's loads of places that you can find us. And very soon, we are going to be going through something of a little bit of a rebrand. We have been using our tried and tested Ready Player 2 green motif for a really long time, with our little invader and a bunch of other stuff, and our website, which we do update and has got lots of content on it. But it's been 5 years, six years now since we've actually done anything with any of it. So we're going through a little bit of a rebrand at the minute. We're going to come up with a new logo, new website, a new bunch of other stuff. Still going to be the same great Ready Player 2 content, but it is going to be under a little bit of a different colour scheme. And we're going to spruce everything up a bit and make it all look shiny and fantastic, hopefully so that we don't hit problems with copywriting when we go to print T-shirts.
I knew I'd seen that somewhere before.
Or other merchandise. We had a bit of an issue when we tried to get T-shirts printed this year, but it'll be fine. So keep an eye out. Moving at the pace that we ordinarily move at, that'll be coming your way in a couple of years' time. So EGX 2020, look forward to the rebrand. But no, we are going to get it done as quick as we can. Right, I'm going to get into the exit. Have I said everything that I need to say, Lewis?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Okay, good. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Ready Player 2, Episode 80, EGX 2018. I have been Rich. Lewis has been...
Lewis.
And you can find Lewis at...
Louis_Kong.
You can find me at Zebwen. That's Z-E-B-W-E-N. I didn't see that. Say that. You can find L at...
Escaping IRL. And I have been awake.
Well done. I feel like a round of applause is needed there, but it won't translate very well into the podcast. Ross has been, and you can find him at...
Here and Rossburn 1984.
And Lee has been, and you can find him at...
Aging and at ZZLeeZZ.
And now, most of us are going to go and play Forza Horizon 4. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back very shortly with episode 81 with considerably less EGX and considerably more games. Thank you and good night.
Cue the music.
Bye.
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 Was he out to get you on purpose? He went out and just specifically
got tires
and wet leaves.
You know what he does for a living. Definitely out to get me. He's a teacher. They've always been out to get me.
He's a teacher. fuck
he's
you
a
and
teacher.
Your knowledge.
Yeah. He hasn't got much. He ain't got any common sense.
Oh my God.
Fuck no.
Hopefully he's not a big fan of us.
I don't think
he's
so.
He's definitely not. Oh no.
But I prefer the Dilophosaurus. The Dilophosaurus is my hero.
Which Dilo,
the one with the, one that has
the
manes, the frondy head. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like fuck you, Dennis.
We used to call them dildos.
What?
When? Just in... that address. Like, can you name the situation?
This wasn't in my youth.
Yeah, I know.
Do you mean in your youth? So Jurassic Park, Jurassic Park came out 25 years ago. That would have made you, what, 60?
Like we used to call them dildos. I've just got images of him emerging out of his cave.
I was actually including you in that statement.
Oh, me? Oh, no, I don't remember. Oh, I remember now, actually. Is this Ark?
Yeah.
I was very concerned for a moment.
Less funny.
You know, the whole... I can't.
I, to be fair, they would not make a very good dildo. I agree. You can't remember your...
No, I don't think I can. Oh, yes, I can. Catastrophaunts. That one. Yeah, Catastrophaunts.
I like the way that, despite me telling you who you did, you're like, oh, yeah, I can. I just told you who you did.
Yeah, I know, yeah. With your aid and my mysterious benefactor, I have somehow remembered.
What do you mean, son?
I feel like, are you not happy?
There's some magical process called hearing. He remembered.
Yes, your magical process.
I can't live off exposure.
Back to the document.
Not oh, yeah, I like that. You scroll over to the right and there's just like this unformatted column that
I can't work out. I can't work it. I can make it white. That's fine.
Like the tack-on that you are.
There we go.
That is so harsh.
All right.
It might just... I might have done it as one big box rather than...
Yeah, it's one big box. It's fine.
He has a giant box currently.
It's better than nothing.
I'll just put it all on one line.
Lee has a giant box.
You've met me now, so I can't deny it.
Sorry.
Right, can we do a clap, please?
Oh, yeah, hang on, let me put my phone down, otherwise it's going to be difficult.
You're going to clap
right,
with
your
the phone
across the room.
Smush it.
Just slam it against your forehead.
Just slam it against the desk.
Right, 3, 2, 1.
Can we do that again? Because mine was a bit weak.
Okay.
You want to run up?
Three. Well,
If you looked at, if you could see my blue squiggly, my clap was less than my speech.
Wow. Yeah, mine does that as well, but I think that's because I'm a loud person.
And a bad clapper.
Right.
Three.
There are no bad clappers. Unless the doctor tells you otherwise.
Okay. Podcast title. Three, two, one.
Oh, shit. You know, we were all over the shop there.
Well, it's the countdown. I've got to say. It's the countdown. Three.
What was wrong? Yeah, I was giving everybody a time.
One.
Would you like to do it?
I don't know. Oh, God. There's so many different.
People clapped.
People... I know. Because Lee was counting was fake, and I didn't know if we were going...
It was a fake countdown.
Oh, it was definitely a fake countdown.
Somebody was counting.
It was a facetious countdown.
Right, okay. One more countdown.
Trained.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Three. Or Lewis to do it.
Two, oh, for fuck's sake.
Three, two, one. Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's fine. Lee can edit this.
We'll work it out. Yeah. I feel it's all your fault.
To be fair, you can use my "oh for fuck's sake" as a clap instead of anything else.
I think if I just line up all three claps with an average,
you'll average them out. Hello,
are you
going to
start
welcome...
then, Rich?
Oh my God.
That was amazing.
Ran face first in the
Oh my God.
Take two.
Have another go. No one's going to talk this time.
Have a bit of a run up.
Taking a run up.
Okay, cool.
To be fair, though, if a Nintendo employee doesn't do well, they just get executed. So.
Yeah. Is that what happens?
They just harvest the new one from the field.
Harvest the new one? They've just grown in there. They're like Pikmin. They've just grown a new one.
That's
we've
exactly
got a bad one.
Where do you think the idea for Pikmin came from?
That's it, Nintendo employee.
No.
So, my... Hang on, I've lost my headphones.
You're right.
Yeah, lost my headset.
Sorry, I found that funny.
Do you want to lead back into that again, Rich?
Yeah, sure.
Cue the music.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Boo, 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 boo.
2 hours?